What up, what up, everybody? How you feel? Doing too much stretch. 6 foot 6, but now I'm out for a site. 4 3 8. Why? You listen. You fucking stupid.
Welcome back, family. As we look forward to a new year with excitement, hope, and faith, we want to say thank you to each and every one of you that stuck with us through 2020. We can't do any of this without you, and we're so happy you're part of the family. Now let's talk about this week's episode. Our Uncle Stretch Garrett has come to the Brownstone. He joins View from the Stoop to talk with us about his career and his book, Last Request. With a decades-long career in some of the top markets in the country, Stretch has seen and done it all. You can listen to him each and every Sunday from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. on historic WHUR in Washington, D.C. You're going to love this one, so let's go. Welcome back, family. It's been a while. This year has once again got away from us, but after all the fireworks and excitement, it looks like we're going to be able to end 2020 on a high note. And in that vein, I have a guest with me who has done a lot with his life, and I would say still a lot more to come, but he's really kind of taken the bull by the horns and ran with it and built an amazing career for himself. And I'm not going to tell his story for him. I want to let him introduce himself. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell everybody who you are, how you got to where you are.
Hello, what's going on, man? My name is Stretch. Most people know me as Stretch 6 foot 6 phenomenon. If you are a big fan of radio and in the DMV, now I turn myself into an author. So go by Ulysses Stretch Garrett, author of the last request.
All right, so I want to get to the book because obviously I'm very excited about that. I'm really excited about people who are able to turn their dreams into actual product, you know, the thoughts in your head into written word. But I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about your career in the radio business or entertainment industry. So let's start here. How did you get into this?
Oh, man. Good question. So I jumped into radio. Ironically, it was just by chance, to be honest with you. My freshman year in college, I was at the University of Maine at Fort Kent, very small school at the very northern tip of Maine. I went there to play basketball. And when basketball season was over with, my advisor at the time had mentioned to me, she said, "Hey, I think it would be great for our on-campus radio station." And now, you know, I did have a fascination with music back then, but I never thought that I could or would want to like venture into radio. But I did have an interest in it because I always was more or less intrigued by listening to radio as a kid and having that connection with the radio personalities that I used to listen to, and always found them to be fascinating in the sense of how they were able to connect with people who called in, or things that they might have been saying, or the knowledge that they dropped about music. And so when that opportunity presented itself to me, I was hooked because I got a chance to kind of just play whatever I wanted to play, say what I wanted to say. And that, in turn, made me change my major at the time, because I was a computer science major. And I went into communications and transferred schools, actually, and came back to the DMV, because I'm originally from Baltimore, and ended up going to Towson University and graduating there with a degree in mass communications with a concentration in radio production. And that's what started it for me, man. And it was crazy because I was so hungry for wanting to be on the radio that even while I was still in school, I ended up getting an internship at one of the heritage radio stations in Baltimore at the time, which is no longer around, it was Z103. And I just kind of worked my way up, man. I just came in there hungry, started off in the promotions department, you know, of course, as an intern, getting a grade for all that. But I finagled my way, as most hungry folks do, into the production side of things, and was able to work my way to being an intern for the morning show. At that time, it was Tim Watts and Gene Ross, and I kept working on my skill and working on my craft to, you know, wanting to become a great radio personality. At the time, you know, I was only like 19 years old, 20, I was 20 years old. And the ironic thing, or the funny thing really, was that they hired me even after when my internship was over. They hired me as a board op, but then they eventually hired me or brought me on as an air talent. So while I'm still in college learning, you know, learning the skills, I'm getting that, that I was getting the, that, that hands-on experience by already being on the air. I was doing Saturday mornings from 8 to 12 at V103, and I was just 20 years old. So it was a dope experience, and at that really just kind of like sparked it for me, man. I fell in love with radio ever since then, and here it is, some 24 years later, and I'm still doing it.
You've done, you've been on the air in some of the most major markets you can be in. You said Baltimore. I know you're in D.C. now, but where else have you been?
So I've done Baltimore, Cleveland, Los Angeles, San Francisco, D.C.
Here's a question I've always wanted to ask somebody in your position. D.C. has a particular sound. Baltimore has a particular sound. They're separated by 40 minutes of road. From mm-hmm. one town to the next, you're not, you can't say and do the same thing sometimes. But then you jump over to Cleveland, you jump over to LA, you jump over to San Francisco. How do you fit in? Is it an immediate just like, oh, music is music, or do you have to do some learning?
Yeah, I mean, it would behoove anybody who wants to get in the radio. So you have to definitely get to know the city that you're that you that you're that you're gonna be in, because you know, lingo is different. You want to learn the area, you know, street, popping places that people hang out at, you know, the schools that people went to, because those are the things that's going to make you connect with the audience that you talk to, because they can tell if a person actually, you know, gives a damn about the city that they're in, or they have any sort of knowledge of the area that they're talking about, or whatever the case may be. Now, of course, you might, you know, you're going to be able to pick up on a person's, if that person has an accent from, you know, not being in, being from that area. But if you're knowledgeable of what you're talking about, or you're able to connect with your audience in that vein, all of that really means, really doesn't mean anything, because and they're going to rock with you, because they get that feeling that you actually care, that you're actually putting some time and effort to learn where they're from.
You're on probably one of the most recognizable urban stations in the world. That's not an easy get, from what I understand. There have been some big names there. How long did it take for you to get to HUR? WHUR, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, is Howard University Radio. How long did it take for you to get there?
How can I put it? Well, I was, before I left, before I came to HUR, I was at 93.9, I was at WKYS. So when I moved back to the area, this was 2010. So I was living in New York at the time, and I was working at BET, BET.com for a hot second, and then I ventured over to Atlantic Records. I was the digital marketing manager for Bad Boys when Bad Boys was, the imprint was still on Atlantic. Excuse me. And so when the label left Atlantic and went over to Interscope, which is based in the West Coast, you know, we all kind of, everybody who was in the New York office, we lost our jobs, more or less. So I knew that, you know, I didn't really want to continue to keep competing with my friends for these, for the same jobs. Because at that time, the industry was getting smaller and smaller and smaller as far as jobs were concerned, especially working at a label. But I was like, I guess I'll come back to the home base, and I want to jump back on the radio. So made a call, jumped back. When I moved back to the DMV, I was living in DC at the time. I just hollered at my former colleague that I knew from my days of working at 92.2 in Baltimore, and said, "Hey, do you need any part-time jocks? Because I'm coming back to the area. I'd love to get back on the air, do some fill-ins, some weekend work, whatever the case may be." And I was there for 7 years. So during that time, as you get older, it's the funny thing is, like, I think as a radio personality, we want to hold on to that youth and that vibrance that we all think we have, but I was starting to outgrow more or less what I was playing, and I'm like, man, I'm in my mid-30s, I'm getting to my 40s. I'm like, I need a change. And the crazy thing was, I always had a fascination and a dream of working for HQR. Just as a kid, listening to that station, whether it be on a Sunday when I was over my grandmother's house in D.C., when I'd be over there in the summertime, or even as a high school kid listening to like The Quiet Storm and things of that nature. I always had a fascination with that, and I knew that like just working there is pretty much like the pinnacle of anyone's career, because it's such a heritage station. So as my time was winding down over at KYS, of course I started reaching out and speaking to know if there was any availability over at HUR, just like anything else, man. As we call them, air check. That's like basically an audio resume for those in the radio business. And I just started sending my stuff over, and eventually they called me and said, "Hey, would you be willing to come over here?" I was like, "Yeah." And I've been riding 4 years strong over there, doing Sunday afternoons from 2 until 7, and loving every bit of it.
In all of that, when did the desire to write a book come along?
That happened during my time at 92 in Baltimore. So from 1997, let me take that back. So around 99-2000, I came back to Baltimore. I was in Cleveland after I graduated from Towson. My first full-time radio gig was in Cleveland. And I was there for a minute, a couple months or so, about 7-8 months. But I knew that, Cleveland just wasn't for me. And I wanted to get back to the area because I enjoyed my time in Baltimore, of course. And there's nothing better than, being on your home station and in your home city. So at that time, I started hosting what is called, at that time it was called The Love Zone, and I did that show from 2004. So it's a version of The Quiet Storm, it's a slow jam show, but with a more little younger vibe to it, you feel me? So the idea for the book came from that, from me doing that show. From me listening to other people's stories about love and relationships and the crazy things that they got themselves into, or the odd relationships that they found themselves in. And then also a combination of just me as I was growing through my 20s and my 30s and things that I was going through. So the idea came from that. Now, but it took me 13 years to actually write the book. So had to, grow a little bit, live life, and eventually I was able to just sit down and start penning a novel, and thus I was in for Last Request.
How long did it take to write the book?
So 13 years.
Amen.
Yeah, man.
So did you...
A lot of procrastination, a lot of start, stop, and all that stuff like that. Again, you know, like I said, a lot of, you know, life takes, you know, plays a factor into things. And but it wasn't until 2020, so about 2018 is when I really was like, okay, I got to finish this book. So I dedicated, you know, a good 6 months. 6 to 7 months to just finish the book. And I knocked it out, and the book came out October 14th of 2019.
What do you know after finishing the book that you didn't know when you started? Like, what's the one thing you wish you had known starting?
As far as the process of writing a book?
They say it changes you. They say it changes you as much as you change over the time of writing it.
Yeah, I mean, because it's a sense of therapy, you know what I mean? Because, you know, although the book is fiction, it is fiction. I want everybody to know it is fiction, but it is mostly based off of, you know, certain situations that occurred with me, or, again, other stories that were told to me, and I just kind of, you know, see my creative spin on it. But, yeah, I mean, I think it changed me for the better, you know, in the sense of one of the main things that, the main character in the book, his name is Mason Blake Jr. He has a problem with you know, showing vulnerability or letting people in and things of that nature, because he's afraid of rejection and hurt and things that have occurred to him from his childhood that impacted him as an adult. So that in hand was like therapeutic for me, you know what I mean? Because like I put a little bit of myself into that character. I put a little bit of myself in all of the characters that's in the book, to be honest with you. So each person in the book, or each character in the book is a small layer of me as who I am. And so I think the most important thing that I learned from writing the book was definitely a sense of, you know, being able to show that vulnerability and be able to open up and be able to communicate. And, I will sum it up at that.
Okay, two questions. One, how can they find the book? Where can they get it? And two, just give them a brief synopsis of, like, what they can expect.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you can find the book everywhere books are sold online, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, of course, Amazon, or you can go to my website and get the book at DopeSense76.com. Again, that's DopeSense76.com. And the book is about a radio personality in Baltimore who is on top of the world. His career is thriving. His friends and his family, he's beloved by everyone in the city. He can't do no wrong. But the one thing that has impacted him throughout his life is that he has yet to settle down or even make the attempt to put himself in a relationship that will add value to his life outside of the accolades that he's received from his job. And by chance, he meets this young lady who slowly breaks down the barriers and the walls that he put around his heart. But things kind of go for a turn for the worse when someone from his past, who he's been longing to receive those that sense of acceptance and love, comes back into his life and put them in a space where he can lose everything that he worked so hard to get.
What's next for you? Like, what do you plan on writing another book? Do you plan on turning this into a visual art? What where are we going with this?
Well, I am in talks right now of taking the book and turning it into a screenplay.
Okay.
I would love to see this on the screen, whether it be the big screen, the small screen. I just want people to see the story as a visual outside of the book. I think the way that I wrote the book is very, very colorful. Once you read it, you can close your eyes and just see it cinematically as far as the characters coming to life, the scenery that I set for the story. And I would love to see that portrayed on the screen. So I'm in talks with that. And of course, yes, I plan on working on my second book. Probably will start working on that in the early parts of 2021. I'm looking for it to be released in the end of the summer, maybe the early part of the fall of 2021. I promise it won't take me 13 years to write the second book. I know what I'm doing now.
You succeeded in probably two of the hardest entertainment realms you could do. Everybody can be an author, but not everybody can get it published and out there. And anybody can pick up a microphone and record themselves and try and pass it out and put it on a podcast or whatever, but not everybody is on nationally recognized stations on a regular basis. That doesn't just happen. There's a drive there.
Mm-hmm.
Without giving game away, how does one get started? Like, where do you start? Where does somebody wake up in the morning and say, today is the day I'm going to do this?
Well, I'll start with the book aspect. I think anybody can write a book. I mean, and I don't say that to say, like, begrudgingly to say, like, you know, it's easy, because it's not. But we all have a story to tell. Excuse me. So it's a matter of how you present your story. So I would say to any person out there who's looking to write a book, just write. That's all you got to do. I would just write. Just start putting everything down, pen to paper, or type it, or whatever you want to do. Because once you get the story out there and you write it, don't worry about the formatting and things like that. That's why you have copy editors and you have editors or copywriters and editors that will go and help you do that. It's just a matter of you telling your story and getting it out there, because you can have a best-selling novel in your head and yet you procrastinate because you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Don't worry about it. Just write it and let everything else fall into place from that perspective. In regards to radio, I mean, things have definitely changed since, you know, when I first got into the game, and that was in 1997. So things have definitely changed in the sense of, you know, starting off as an intern or having those programs where you kind of go to school and you get an internship at a radio station, things of that nature. And that's how I started, you know. But I know things have definitely changed. But you have all these different mediums now in regards to whether it be a podcast or any other streaming platform that people can practice and do their thing. But I would always advise folks, if you want to do it, kind of just go through the same route that I did. Get an internship. Make these connections with whomever your favorite radio personality is, or get to know them from their social media. Find out who the program director is at the station. Start emailing them. Find out who's in charge of the promotions department, sales department. Just find that avenue and that'll allow you to get your foot in the door. Because once you get in, it's on you to show that you really want to be there and that you're willing to learn and soak up all that you can. So therefore, kind of get to know every facet of the business, you know, because I think nowadays everybody is so in tune with, I got a brand, I'm creating a brand. But in order for you to create a brand, you got to know sponsors. You know, you're not just going to jump on and be a star, you know, off the jump. You got to learn it, because, you know, this is a very cutthroat business. You know, a lot of people can't say that they, you know, been able to stay on the radio for 20 plus years in any sort of capacity. So you have to be willing to, you know, ride the wave for as long as you can, but also be willing to change and sort of be able to adapt to the situations that may be thrown your way. So that's my advice to anybody that's out there that wants to get into radio. Just get to know the folks that you need to get to know and be willing to learn every facet of the business. So therefore, you're not irreplaceable.
Here's something you mentioned while you were talking about how everything has changed. I mean, that's just the nature of life. Things change, and technology always moves you forward, whether you want to or not.
Right.
The radio business, we keep hearing that radio is dead, but I turn on my radio in my car and there's still people talking. Radio's never going to die, right?
No, radio is never going to die, man. You know, I think what radio was invented in 1841, and it's still here today. That's one of the forms of communication that will never go away, because you're always going to need some sort of connection with the public and for people to gather their information. Yes, of course, you know, like you mentioned, you have all these different facets to get your information, whether it be the internet, whether it be, you know, whatever, your telephone or any of that stuff. But there's nothing that can replace that connection that one has with listening to their favorite radio station or listening to their favorite, you know, radio personality, that they say something at that given time that affects them. If you're having a bad day or want to hear, you know, just they play your favorite song that you haven't heard in such a long time, or whatever the case may be, those things will never die, because it's a need. It's always going to be a need for it.
Brother, I want to thank you for stopping by and doing this with us. I'm purchasing the book right now, and our family purchased the book. We always talk about we want to support each other. Here's a perfect opportunity. The book actually looks like, you know, you sometimes you talk to people and they say, I wrote a book, and you look at the synopsis and you're like, oh, you wrote some. But this, on the other hand, I'll tell you what it reminds me of without just looking at it. The heyday of black authors in the early 2000s, late 90s, with the Eric Jerome Dickies and mm-hmm. those type of books. This, if you love that type of thing, this feels like it fits right into that that vein very easily. So I think that just from the twist that he's hinted at, you got something in store for you.
Yeah, and I would also say this, man. When you think about romance novels, most romance novels are written from a female's perspective, right? So if you want something, especially ladies, tell us too. I want you all to just think about it. Here's a book that's written from a male perspective, and a romance, and it's a romance novel. So you kind of get to see the idiosyncrasies that this character goes through, what his thought process is, things that'll make you love him, things that'll make you hate him, things that'll make you laugh, cry, if you're into, a good part of my life that I always found the exciting parts of my life, to be honest with you, were in the 90s and the early 2000s. So there's references to great music, songs, places, you know, television shows, things that will make you reflect and think, damn, I remember this, I remember that. So if you're looking for a good story that will take you on an emotional roller coaster, then I suggest you pick up Last Request.
You got to come back the next time you do anything and just come hang out with your family. I didn't even ask you. We normally let people choose what they want to be in the family. So you got your choice of uncle, brother, cousin. I don't know about nephew. We too close to the same age. I guess I could be like Snoop.
I go by Uncle Stretch, man.
Uncle Stretch, man. This was a pleasure. Once again, everybody, you can get the book almost anywhere. It's 2020. We don't even need to explain how many places you can get a book these days. You can get it on your phone, on your Kindle. Just go get it. We're going to start checking people, quizzing you in the streets, and let you, you know, ask you if you read it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I want people to get it, and then hit me up and, be honest. Let me know what you think. You know, I'm always willing to just hear people's thoughts on the book, man, because it excites me. So hit me up and let me know.
How's the family reach out to you?
Man, you can hit me up on my IG at StretchD, or you can also follow me on Instagram at GoatSense76Media. I'm on Twitter at StretchDerek. And of course, my website, once again, is GoatSense76.com.
And listen on Sundays, 2 to 7, HUR.
That's right, that's right. Check me out.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of View from the Stoop. We definitely want to make sure that we say thank you to Stretch. Check out his book, Last Request. You can find it on Amazon and on his website, dopesense76.com. We're looking forward to another big year, and we want to say thank you again to all of our listeners and supporters and our family. 2021, y'all, it's going to be a good one, and we can't wait to get started. Until next time, love.